Lehrabschlussprüfungen für Kauffrau Kaufmann. E-Profil 2012. Englisch. Hörverstehen Serie 2. Each part of this listening comprehension will be played twice. Task A. Look at the notes below. Listen to the monologues. Fill in the missing information. You now have 20 seconds to look at the tasks. Now listen. 1. A message on a company answer phone.
Hello, Mr. Hacker. This is Fiona Kameni, Gordon Sanders' assistant, phoning from Kraft Foods in Chicago. Next Tuesday, Mr. Sanders is scheduled to be a guest speaker at your annual convention of cheese producers in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, due to personal circumstances, he cannot come. He has passed his speech, which is all prepared, on to his co-chairman, Sandro Plantoni, who is willing to come, if that is acceptable to you. Please contact Mr. Plantoni as soon as possible by email at s.plantoni@kraftfoods.com. That's s.plantoni@kraftfoods.com. Or on his mobile phone at 034-672-3398. His office hours are Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Mr. Sanders sends his sincerest apologies for this and wishes you a successful convention.
You're going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hello, Mr. Hacker. This is Fiona Kameni, Gordon Sanders' assistant, phoning from Kraft Foods in Chicago. Next Tuesday, Mr. Sanders is scheduled to be a guest speaker at your annual convention of cheese producers in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, due to personal circumstances, he cannot come. He has passed his speech, which is all prepared, on to his co-chairman, Sandro Plantoni, who is willing to come, if that is acceptable to you. Please contact Mr. Plantoni as soon as possible by email at s.plantoni@kraftfoods.com. That's s.plantoni@kraftfoods.com. Or on his mobile phone at 034-672-3398. His office hours are Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Mr. Sanders sends his sincerest apologies for this and wishes you a successful convention.
Now go on to part two. Two. A request.
Hello, this is John Timms calling from Frankfurt, Germany, for the organizing committee of the book fair starting on October 15th. Thank you for your interest in participating in this year's fair. As required, we receive the registration of your company, the Highland Publishers, for a booth by the 1st of May. However, as of today's date, May the 15th, we've not received the registration fee of €375 or $405. Please forward this to us within the next 10 days, or we will have to cancel your reservation in favour of one of the other 56 companies on our waiting list. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to phone me at 0049 172 446 3950 or contact me by email at s.timms@frankfurtbookfair.de. We look forward to seeing you here.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hello, this is John Timms calling from Frankfurt, Germany, for the organizing committee of the book fair starting on October 15th. Thank you for your interest in participating in this year's fair. As required, we receive the registration of your company, the Highland Publishers, for a booth by the 1st of May. However, as of today's date, May the 15th, we've not received the registration fee of €375 or $405. Please forward this to us within the next 10 days, or we will have to cancel your reservation in favor of one of the other 56 companies on our waiting list. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to phone me at 0049 172 446 3950 or contact me by email at s.timms@frankfurtbookfair.de. We look forward to seeing you here.
This is the end of Task A. Task B will begin in about 20 seconds. Task B. You will now listen to an interview about mismanagement in a company. For each question, mark the best answer, A, B or C. Tick one answer only. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. Ready?
Hello, Mr. Rongstad. Welcome to our program on mismanagement in businesses today.
Good day, Miss Hansen.
When the management of a company has to decide which direction a company should go, it sometimes chooses the wrong direction. Your company, which supplies huge companies with enormous computer systems and networks, needed to downsize like many others when the economic crisis began 2 years ago. How many employees does your firm have now?
250. The management reduced the staff from 5,000 to 250.
That's unbelievable. Have there been any consequences for the company?
Yes, there have been. One minor consequence is that we don't need nearly as much office space as before. We are leasing our whole building, but now only need one half of it. The lease is coming up for renewal, and we'd like to lease only what we need. However, the owners of the building want us to rent it all, or not at all.
Where would you go?
We own a building which we could move into, but it doesn't have enough electrical power for our needs. On top of that, it is located too far away. Many of our older employees that we are dependent on would retire. At their age, they are no longer willing to move or take on such a long commute.
Why are you dependent on these elderly employees?
That has been the major consequence. The old management chose the wrong section of the company to reduce. The youngest person in this department is 53 years old, and the oldest is almost 70. The management laid off almost all of the people with the know-how for our past products. That know-how is lost forever. So as opposed to our newer, younger workers, our elderly employees are the only ones who have the expertise to make the repairs when problems arise.
Why are these past products so important? That's not usually what one hears in the fast-moving world of technology.
Yes, even our management thought they should set priorities in the newer departments. But surprisingly, this segment of the company with our older systems is actually making our most money. These older computer systems are so huge, so complicated, and so integrated in the companies that bought them that even if they wanted to, it is impossible for these companies to change them. The cost would put them out of business.
So they are as dependent on you for support of their older systems as you are on them as clients.
That's true, and the new technology that the younger employees work with is so different that it's impossible to train them for the old technology. We don't really want to either, because the new companies that have our newer systems also need support.
So how is the new management trying to solve the problems the old management caused?
It is clear to everyone that our most profitable clients need our support, and we want to give it. We are working on developing new software for these old machines to gradually make a transition to a more modern technology.
Are there any problems with that?
No problems, but a lot of stress. It's a tense situation. We don't know how long we can count on these elderly employees. If they decided tomorrow they want to retire, we would be lost.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Hello, Mr. Rongstad. Welcome to our program on mismanagement in businesses today.
Good day, Ms. Hansen.
When the management of a company has to decide which direction a company should go, it sometimes chooses the wrong direction. Your company, which supplies huge companies with enormous computer systems and networks, needed to downsize like many others when the economic crisis began 2 years ago. How many employees does your firm have now?
250. The management reduced the staff from 5,000 to 250.
That's unbelievable. Have there been any consequences for the company?
Yes, there have been. One minor consequence is that we don't need nearly as much office space as before. We are leasing our whole building, but now only need one half of it. The lease is coming up for renewal, and we'd like to lease only what we need. However, the owners of the building want us to rent it all or not at all.
Where would you go?
We own a building which we could move into, but it doesn't have enough electrical power for our needs. On top of that, it is located too far away. Many of our older employees that we are dependent on would retire. At their age, they are no longer willing to move or take on such a long commute.
Why are you dependent on these elderly employees?
That has been the major consequence. The old management chose the wrong section of the company to reduce. The youngest person in this department is 53 years old, and the oldest is almost 70. The management laid off almost all of the people with the know-how for our past products. That know-how is lost forever. So as opposed to our newer, younger workers, our elderly employees are the only ones who have the expertise to make the repairs when problems arise.
Why are these past products so important? That's not usually what one hears in the fast-moving world of technology.
Yes, even our management thought they should set priorities in the newer departments. But surprisingly, this segment of the company with our older systems is actually making our most money. These older computer systems are so huge, so complicated, and so integrated in the companies that bought them that even if they wanted to, it is impossible for these companies to change them. The cost would put them out of business.
So they are as dependent on you for support of their older systems as you are on them as clients.
That's true, and the new technology that the younger employees work with is so different that it's impossible to train them for the old technology. We don't really want to either, because the new companies that have our newer systems also need support.
So how is the new management trying to solve the problems the old management caused?
It is clear to everyone that our most profitable clients need our support, and we want to give it. We are working on developing new software for these old machines to gradually make a transition to a more modern technology.
Are there any problems with that?
No problems, but a lot of stress. It's a tense situation. We don't know how long we can count on these elderly employees. If they decided tomorrow they want to retire, we would be lost.
This is the end of Task B. Task C will begin in about 20 seconds. Task C. You will now listen to an interview on cheating with Mr. Disteno. Listen and answer the questions. Please use keywords. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. And here we go.
We'd like to welcome Mr. Destino, a psychologist from Northwest University in Boston.
Thank you, Ms. Honston.
Mr. Destino, why do we cheat?
There are various reasons and emotions that go along with cheating. One is if we feel that someone is cheating us, we are the victim, then we'll cheat back to make things even again. However, the most powerful force causing us to cheat is when we notice others have an advantage over us. We then tend to justify cheating as a way to get the same chances as the others. Students in school often do that to make themselves feel better about cheating on a test, even though they know it's wrong.
Cheating is wrong. Why does it seem people today want to make us feel good about it?
Yes, today's society seems to want us to accept little cheats as okay, just like little white lies. Some people even try to make us feel guilty if we don't use a cheating opportunity in which we could better our situation. However, there are still those people who consider cheating, no matter what kind, morally and totally wrong. They strongly feel it's a crime against all the honest citizens everywhere.
What do we know about criminal cheating?
We know that it rarely starts off as big cheating, but rather as small, unimportant actions. For example, we have Mr. Bernard L. Madoff, the famous financial schemer. Like so many, his fraud schemes began as minor investment advice for his clients. It grew step by step into deliberate, conscious decisions to cheat. It got control of him and turned into a hobby, a way of life.
So is all cheating planned or done on purpose?
No, that was proven in a study at Duke University. They gave students a general knowledge test with answer sheets. On some of the answer sheets, the correct answers were slightly visible under grey areas. They looked like they'd been left there accidentally. The students changed 20% of their original answers. When confronted with this, they were surprised themselves at how much they'd cheated. Yet others, when told not to use the answer sheet, didn't do it. When clear rules of conduct are given to people, they will follow the rules.
So, following rules is still accepted?
Yes, definitely. Especially if people feel the rules are fair for everyone. That will even keep them from cheating, despite being given the chance to cheat. The main reason for falling into the break-the-rules mode is a dislike or lack of respect for authority. Take, for example, the police when it comes to using your mobile phone while driving a car.
How about at work?
At work, employees don't do the little extra things anymore, like being friendly to clients or helping co-workers with problems, which actually would help the company and indirectly themselves. But with these little cheats, they're trying to get back at a mean boss. The clients who get the unfriendly service really can't be blamed for the bad boss, but they get the reactions.
Well, that'll help me the next time I get unfriendly service. Thank you for coming, Mr. Destino.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
We'd like to welcome Mr. Destino, a psychologist from Northwest University in Boston.
Thank you, Ms. Honston.
Mr. Destino, why do we cheat?
There are various reasons and emotions that go along with cheating. One is if we feel that someone is cheating us, we are the victim, then we'll cheat back to make things even again. However, the most powerful force causing us to cheat is when we notice others have an advantage over us. We then tend to justify cheating as a way to get the same chances as the others. Students in school often do that to make themselves feel better about cheating on a test, even though they know it's wrong.
Cheating is wrong. Why does it seem people today want to make us feel good about it?
Yes, today's society seems to want us to accept little cheats as okay, just like little white lies. Some people even try to make us feel guilty if we don't use a cheating opportunity in which we could better our situation. However, there are still those people who consider cheating, no matter what kind, morally and totally wrong. They strongly feel it's a crime against all the honest citizens everywhere.
What do we know about criminal cheating?
We know that it rarely starts off as big cheating, but rather as small, unimportant actions. For example, we have Mr. Bernard L. Madoff, the famous financial schemer. Like so many, his fraud schemes began as minor investment advice for his clients. It grew step by step into deliberate, conscious decisions to cheat. It got control of him and turned into a hobby, a way of life.
So is all cheating planned or done on purpose?
No, that was proven in a study at Duke University. They gave students a general knowledge test with answer sheets. On some of the answer sheets, the correct answers were slightly visible under grey areas. They looked like they'd been left there accidentally. The students changed 20% of their original answers. When confronted with this, they were surprised themselves at how much they'd cheated. Yet others, when told not to use the answer sheet, didn't do it. When clear rules of conduct are given to people, they will follow the rules.
So, following rules is still accepted?
Yes, definitely. Especially if people feel the rules are fair for everyone. That will even keep them from cheating, despite being given the chance to cheat. The main reason for falling into the break-the-rules mode is a dislike or lack of respect for authority. Take, for example, the police when it comes to using your mobile phone while driving a car.
How about at work?
At work, employees don't do the little extra things anymore, like being friendly to clients or helping co-workers with problems, which actually would help the company and indirectly themselves. But with these little cheats, they're trying to get back at a mean boss. The clients who get the unfriendly service really can't be blamed for the bad boss, but they get the reactions.
Well, that'll help me the next time I get unfriendly service. Thank you for coming, Mr. Destino.
This is the end of Task C. You now have time to complete your answers. This is the end of your English listening comprehension exam. Please stop writing and hand in your paper.